You might have heard in our previous episode, our 100th episode, that is, oh my gosh, this is episode 101, that Sean Kanan, in the beginning of the episode, dropped a pretty sweet stinger. Well, he's today's guest. He's joining us to talk about his books, his career in Cobra Kai, Karate Kid, Bold and the Beautiful, all that good stuff and more.
Sean Kanan, of course, you may most well know him as Mike, the bad boy of Karate Barnes, the villain of Karate Kid 3, and now also on Cobra Kai, showing his good sides, his human sides, which is what we all want to see. Me personally, I mean, that's what I want to see. I want to see some multiple, you know, dimensions. I don't like when bad guys are just bad. I like when it's like, oh, he's kind of good.
Yeah, one of the things about Cobra Kai that's pretty cool is they really flesh out some of the characters over time that you always wondered about. Like, what happened to Bad Boy Barnes? Well, you find out in the new season of Cobra Kai, and Sean, you know, touches upon that just a little bit. He's an amazing writer, though. He's written a series of books. If you go into our show notes, you'll find a link to his website so you can order them. But he talks about Way of the Cobra, and he talks about his new book, Welcome to the Kumite. The guy has a very cool outlook on life. I don't know, I was pleasantly surprised to have him on the show.
He does. A total positive, inspiring dude, you know. We talk about this a lot in previous episodes, and those of you that have been listening to the show for a while, you know that we focus on positivity. We enter through the lens of nostalgia, but we really focus on all the good and all the themes of gratitude. We marvel at when we were kids, like, oh, why did we like this? Or, you know, or what is that thing? And right, maybe we rewatch it and we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. It doesn't play as well, but it's always about the positive things and all the things that we do like and the things that we still like today. And I think Sean really emphasizes that in his path as an actor, as a husband, as a life coach, as a motivator, as someone who has had a tough journey and continues to overcome those things, helping others aspire to be their best selves.
It's just nice to see someone overcoming odds and prevailing and giving back, because isn't that the whole point of life? This episode was really fun too, because we're doing something we normally hold exclusively to our Patreon page. We did a $2 six questions segment with Sean. You'll hear questions from the fans, the listeners, to Sean about his life, his movies, etc., etc. If you want to become a Patreon, please go sign up. There's a link in the show notes to that as well. As you can hear in this episode, it's all good stuff.
Yeah. One other note I'll just say about the Patreon is, like, it's an interactive community. We have a lot of different segments that interact, including a monthly live trivia show that takes various forms. And we just really appreciate you guys. You know, the show really has continued to grow thanks to you. People are getting the word out about, you know, oh, 80s movies. What? It's just like that. What?
Oh, Zach and Dustin. I know those guys.
Yeah. So, Thanks to everybody, and thanks to Sean Kanan for coming on. But as Zach said, it's like, this is a very concise, uplifting, beautiful little pod that helps us support Martial Arts Madness all month long in March. You go to our social media, we've got stuff there. Obviously, the show runs every week. It's not normally weekly, but we run it weekly. This is just kind of becoming like a holiday for us, an annual holiday.
It is. We're knee deep into it. This is our third week. We got one more after this. Sheldon Lettich will be joining us next week, so stay tuned for that one. And we hope you've enjoyed this month-long celebration of martial art movies, all the people that we love that are associated with this amazing genre. So, enjoy getting your ass kicked by Sean Kanan. Just kidding. He's not going to kick your ass. But he will if you don't listen to this podcast.
Right. And again, had you not said just kidding, I think everybody would have thought they were going to get their ass kicked. So I'm really glad that you said just kidding immediately.
This is my problem. I'm too nice. I just can't pull the trigger.
You're like, I just don't want them to be offended. Like, they think he's going to kick their ass. So I'll just, you're going to get your ass kicked by Sean Kanan. Just kidding.
Y'all know my neuroses at this point.
Enjoy, everybody. Enjoy.
Oh, boy.
Before there was IMDb.com, there was Zach and Dustin.
Congrats! You found $2 Late Fee, the best 80s movies podcast in the world.
We revisit our favorite 80s movies.
Sometimes 90s.
And soundtracks from our youth. And then we interview our favorite people who helped make them. All in the spirit of nostalgic positivity.
Thanks for listening.
You did a movie with my buddy Tyler Olson. It was a Bruce Willis flick.
Tyler, he's a producer, right?
Yeah, he's a producer.
Yeah, he was a really cool dude. I really enjoyed getting to know him. We sort of lost touch. They changed the title. That's why one was called The Fortress.
Yep.
And one was called Survive the Game.
Yes.
Yeah, they did three Bruce Willis films in Puerto Rico, sort of one right after the other.
Was it a fun experience for you?
It was a great experience. I mean, yeah, come on. I grew up with Bruce Willis. I mean, it was like a bucket list thing to not only be able to do one film, but I got back to the States and my friend who was the director of both said, all right, you know what? We're going to put you in this other one too. And I was like, this was 2020 when... Yeah. You know, the world had gone to shit.
Right.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, being an actor in 2020 was not real easy. And I was just, blessed, man. I mean, that's how my year started, back-to-back films with Bruce. And then, you know, I wound up getting back on The Bold and the Beautiful, and I wound up doing Cobra Kai, and I did a Lifetime movie. I mean, it was a monster year for me. And, I don't tell people that a whole lot because a lot of people were like, fuck you. I was, I put 40 pounds on and basically watched the entire Hulu catalog, So I am really fortunate.
Right. So you had no downtime basically in the pandemic. You continued shooting in Puerto Rico.
No. And I was finishing, Way the Cobra was done. I finished Way the Cobra. And Welcome to the Kumite.
Amazing.
Oh, that's your new book.
That's my new book.
Okay, first of all, I know that feeling of like, oh my gosh, all the chaos is going around us. We should feel like we don't want to tout the positive things that were happening to us because we don't want anybody to feel bad or whatever.
Yeah, like humble bragging, Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing. I'm just happy that you're so successful right now.
That's true. And
happy for your success. It's great to see people achieving their dreams, doing what they want to do, and having success come from that.
You know, it was really important to me that I made the decision when the whole pandemic thing started that to the best of my ability, that I was not just going to survive. I was going to find a way to thrive. And, when I do share some of the stuff that I accomplished during that time, I do it because, that's part of my brand. That's part of my whole deal with Way the Cobra is, circumstances are never perfect. The second pillar of Way the Cobra is optimization, which is, not waiting for the optimal moment to make a move. You look at the cards you're dealt and it's about playing a lousy hand sometimes to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
So, when I share stuff like that, it's to inspire people and say, look, this is what's possible. I'm no more spectacular than you. You can do this. You just have to want it and take action.
I'm happy for you in that regard. I mean, you've been in this business for over 30 years now, and it's a trip you've had, I'm sure, a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
And I was looking back at your book, The Way of the Cobra, which I bought, by the way, which I think people should go out and get. It's inspiring to have a set of tools moving forward with whatever you're doing in life, whatever makes you happy, right?
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, my acting teacher, His name was Roy London. And he used to say something that was really profound. He said, "I have more in common with a successful plumber than I do with an unsuccessful acting teacher." And what he meant by that was there are certain common denominators, certain things that you need to do to become successful no matter what you do. I guarantee there's certain things that I do in my life that, you know, somebody who's a Major League Baseball player does, somebody who is a really successful teacher does, whatever it is. You know, there are just certain things that you have to do. And it doesn't matter what your chosen profession is, you know, and it all starts with character. I think it starts with your character. It starts with, you know, who you are and what you're committed to. But then there's specific strategies too. And one of the things I talk about in the book that had a really profound change in my life was when I started getting up early. You know, I think that the ability to get up like 90 minutes earlier than maybe you usually do has a profound effect on the trajectory of your day. You know, it's before kind of all the external bombastic chaos of the day starts hitting you. You're building in like another 90 minutes in your day to get stuff done, you know, set your intention for the day, do a little meditating, center yourself, all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, as an actor, for a long, long time, I erroneously operated under the idea that, you know, if I didn't have to wake up early for work or if I didn't have an audition or blah, 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 I could sleep in till 10:30. And, you know, I guarantee you that no one who is, you know, really kicking ass is sleeping in till 11 o'clock in the morning.
Nope.
Right. And then I say, look, but if all that was necessary was to wake up early, then every kid who wakes up early to watch cartoons on a Saturday would be a captain of industry. I mean, right. It takes more than that, but that's a really, really good start doing that. And you know, like, I'm a firm believer that some of what I teach in my book is philosophy. And I think philosophy helps us understand ourselves, understand our relationship to the world, ask the bigger questions. But philosophy without applicable strategy is impotent. I mean, it lives in your head. You need to tie that to nuts and bolts, battle-tested strategy. Strategy without the philosophy to govern it is like, you know, it's like a wildly slashing katana that does all sorts of damage but never finds its mark. So you really need to have both of those two things work in tandem. And that's a lot of what I talk about in Way of the Cobra.
That's really interesting. You know, to your point, so Tim Ferriss, you know, who originally wrote the 4-Hour Work Week, he interviewed, like, I think it was like 100 supremely successful people in all of their fields. And there were two things that they all had in common. And one of them was they all got up early. Mm-hmm. And many of them didn't need that much sleep to survive. Operate,
right.
Function in society. And the second thing was that they all had some kind of meditation or mindfulness practice with themselves.
Yeah, it's important because, you know, there's so much monkey chatter that goes on in our heads now more than ever, you know, especially like with social media and the internet. And, you know, we live in a society now that is, you know, information comes at lightning speed, you know, nanosecond information blasts that we're constantly being bombarded with. And you got to be able to just take a minute and center yourself and shut that stuff out. And it's in those moments of silence when we kind of hear the message from the universe, you know, not to get all woo-woo, but, you know, when we're still, when we're quiet, you tend to hear, you learn things about yourself, like what your dharma is. What is that thing you're meant to do? And if you're constantly engaged in, you know, information and you're constantly in a kinetic state, you miss a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Sean, I love that. Where do you get some of your philosophy from? Where have you sourced this from?
I've started this new thing, which has been really successful. I've started using a content calendar, both for my personal Instagram, which is at Sean Kanan, I think that's what it is, and Way of the Cobra. And what I'm doing with that is providing content that's motivational, inspirational, strategic, all that sort of stuff. If you want to find out the nuts and bolts of you know, what Way of the Cobra is all about, you can order the book on Amazon or get it at wayofthecobra.com if you'd like to get an autographed, personalized copy. And my new book, Welcome to the Kumite, which is, it's really terrific. I mean, it's you know, I'm not patting myself on the shoulder, but there's
go ahead.
Phenomenal information in this book that I wanted to share. And that's only available at wayofthecobra.com.
Nice. Okay. I mean, look, our 100th episode was Bloodsport.
And I referenced Bloodsport in the new book because a lot of people say, what is the Kumite? And Kumite refers to a traditional modality of training in martial arts where you're preparing for combat. But we all know Kumite from Jean-Claude's work, you know, as this epic battle. And the tagline for Welcome to the Kumite is learn to conquer your greatest opponent, which of course is yourself. The entire book is about how to become a better version of yourself. And to do that, you need to basically experience a metaphoric death every day, extinguishing the person you were yesterday to be reborn as, you know, 2.0, 2.1, 2.2, et cetera, always working to become a better version of who you were the day before.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I have my son is 8 and, you know, we're watching Saturday morning cartoons where we're doing all the things that I got to do as a kid that I love so much. And we were watching this show and the character was talking about how everything that happened yesterday, it's gone. That moment that you just had, it's gone. It was really deep and philosophical. And I thought about that. It is so true. You do extinguish that person you had, who you were yesterday.
You should extinguish it. Not everyone does. You know, one of the biggest things that I've noticed from my coaching clients is people have trouble living in the present. And, you know, when you dwell on the past, you're thinking about things that you're regretful for. It causes, you know, shame and depression and all that stuff. And if you're anxious, it's because you're worrying about the future. And of course, the future is unknown. And so by staying in the present, it obviously keeps you focused. And it also takes away a lot of the mental baggage that so many people struggle with. And, you know, for me, one of the easiest ways to stay in the present, and this is part of my morning routine, and this isn't a philosophical discussion, you know, believe in God, don't believe in God, whatever, but I start my day on my knees, you know, thanking my creator for 5 things that I'm grateful for, you know, and it can be something as simple as, wow, I'm looking at my dog in the bed. I'm really grateful that I have this great little pooch, or my wife, or, you know, I've got a great job to go to, or my family. And, you know, when you're thinking about things that you're grateful for, you're rooted in the present, and you don't think about all the other mishigas.
You're speaking our love language right now.
That is true. Zach, what cartoon told you this bit of wisdom?
Adventure Time, actually.
Adventure Time. Yeah.
Which is a wacky-ass show, but at the base of it, there's a lot of depth there, and it sparked this discussion, and we both were getting choked up. Bodhi goes, I'm getting choked up, you know, and you hear an 8-year-old verbalize that.
8-year-old.
But Sean, we practice that daily. We say we're grateful for what we have, not what we want. And the gratitude, I think, often gets overlooked or not appreciated.
You know, Los Angeles is a difficult city to live in and maintain gratitude. And working in Hollywood exacerbates that. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, it's really, really easy to get into that mentality of the grass is always greener. And someone had more. And, you know, I wish I came up with this. I didn't. But somebody said, the grass isn't greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. And it, right. And it's true. You know, I talk about in my new book, Welcome to the Kumite, I tell a story about how I was in acting class with Brad Pitt. And, you know, I say, obviously, our careers have taken very different turns. I'm obviously pacing myself. But, you know, if much more selective with the blockbuster t-shirts.
You should be.
If I compared myself to Brad Pitt's career, I would be in a perpetual state of feeling less than and as a failure. And the only person that you need to compete against is yourself. I mean, that's also, listen, I say in my book, a lot of stuff that you're going to hear might sound new. None of it is. Everything I'm going to tell you is ingrained in your DNA. You intuitively know it. You may not have discovered it yet. You may have forgotten it, but you know everything that I'm going to say. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're 16 and your dad's giving you some really good advice, you can't hear it because you're in that, what about you, dad? Yeah. You know, that whole deal.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes it's the packaging and the messenger that finally allows somebody to, you know, digest a really good message. And so a lot of what I'm doing in my books is repackaging stuff that's really, really good information. Not all of which is mine. A lot of it is mine. A lot of it is stuff that has had a profound effect on me, and I'm kind of transmitting it in my way. And it's the way that I'm doing it, I think, that people are responding to.
Well, what I love about that is who you are as a person. You have a fan base. You have a particular fan base, and you're using your platform to preach positivity. You know, just like Diamond Dallas Page was a professional wrestler and became a yoga instructor and turned people on to who normally wouldn't be into yoga, right? And now they're taking good care of their bodies. You're doing the same. Maybe people that might not buy into a particular philosophy or, that's too spiritual for me, man. But then Sean, but Bad Boy Barnes did this, so this is cool. Like, who cares what the gateway is to get you to that endpoint? What a beautiful opportunity you're giving these people to kind of tap into something that maybe they wouldn't consider.
And, you know, I say in my book, too, before you think I'm, you know, living on top of a mountain in Kathmandu, meditating 3 feet above the ground, I've made every mistake in this book a dozen times. I mean, I have, for a long time, was the guy that literally had to bang his head against the door to learn something. And, you know, the genesis of the first book was, you know, I'd had some pretty good success. I'd had some epic failures. And from the outside, it looked like I had a pretty good life. I mean, I had a loving wife and great family and a career that looked pretty good. But I knew that I was rapidly slipping into mediocrity. I, at one point, was, you know, I was 35 pounds overweight. I had no possibilities for work. I was dealing with some demons. And I realized I had to do some things very differently, very quickly, or I was going to run the risk of losing everything. But most importantly, losing the idea that I've always carried about who I was meant to be. And so I made some pretty significant changes that were simple, but not easy. Everything I teach in the book is simple. It's not easy. And in the course of that 1 year, I completed my second book, which was Success Factor X, which became an Amazon new release bestseller. I lost the 35 pounds, and a show that I had been trying to get made for 15 years finally got made, and we were nominated for, I think, 19 Emmys, and we won three.
It's Studio City, right?
It's called Studio City on Amazon Prime. And, you know, I don't say that stuff to impress people. I say upon you what is possible when you're willing to take action in the right direction.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, I want to...
We're impressed, though. We are impressed.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I think too, you know, we don't acknowledge the importance of small steps, which are huge steps for some people. Being a kid and learning how to read for the first time is a... You know, for the general kid, a kid who has dyslexia, it's even harder, right? But that idea of, like, we look at that as adults and go, yeah, we all learned how to read, right? But as a kid, how daunting is that thing that maybe we perceive as such a small thing now? I don't think we do, but you know what I'm saying? Like, or learning to tie your shoes is for a little child is huge. So if we take that idea that it's a small thing, but it's a big thing to us, you know, that's what, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I talk about is the concept of Kaizen. And for those people that don't know what Kaizen is, it was a Japanese philosophy that was developed basically as a way of reanimating the post-World War II industrial complex for Japan after it had been completely decimated, you know, by the war. And ironically, it was spearheaded by General Douglas MacArthur and a guy named Edward Deming. Okay, enough history. The philosophy of Kaizen is that basically small incremental consistent improvement over the long haul has the greatest results, more effective than the grip it and rip it strategy. Now, there's definitely a time when, you know, you got to go cold turkey on something or you got to swing fences. But statistically, it seems that it bears out that making small incremental, you know, it's the tortoise and the hare, that sort of thing. And it's, I think it's true. I talk about that. I talk about how to just consistently be improving in multiple areas of your life. And over the course of 30 days, you look back and go, wow, I've made some, you know, you don't necessarily see progress in the gym the first week or the second week, but you know, you wake up one day and you're like, wow, I'm down 15 pounds. You know, you know, it really is the ability to just be consistent, I think, in everything in life.
That's beautiful. We have questions from fans of our show for you.
Let's do it.
It's a segment we call $2 Six Questions, and it's rapid fire. But the first question is from a good friend of the show, Lee Germani. He wanted to know about the TV show Werewolf that you did a small stint on back in the day. We are big fans of Werewolf, very underrated TV show.
So, I agree. So Werewolf is such a weird thing for me because there were so many intersections of my career that happened on that. So the first one was this. So I was a guest star on Werewolf. It was the first professional television job I ever had. The star of Werewolf was John J. York, who plays Max Scorpio on General Hospital. So I would later go on to work extensively with him. One of the other co-stars, the female co-star, was a girl named Cammie Cooper, who was my character, A.J. Quartermain's girlfriend on General Hospital. The other co-star was a guy named Mark Sussman, whose best friend was Billy Zabka. And Billy came to the set. So I just posted a picture on Instagram of the day Billy and I met, which was about 1988, I think. And it was before I ever started or even thought about Karate Kid 3, I met Billy. And so Werewolf had all of these crazy things that would come to play later in my life.
That's rad. That is so cool. I love that show, by the way.
That's
fantastic. Our next question comes from David Ullman, who says, so in Karate Kid 3, you play Mike Barnes. You show a lot of sort of dark intimidation towards Jessica Andrews, who's played by Robin Lively. When you saw other actors returning from the Karate Kid series during the first few Cobra Kai seasons, did you have any reservations about reprising your role as such a malevolent character, being so bad?
When the big three approached me and said, look, we're gonna bring you on, they were really wonderful. We had a Zoom meeting. It was me and Josh Held and John Hurwitz. Hayden wasn't available. And we were talking about it. And, you know, they wanted to know my thoughts. And I mean, I was so humbled by the fact that these guys that have created this juggernaut had any interest in what I had to say. I mean, they certainly don't need Sean Kanan to tell them how to do their show. And I said to him, hey, listen, you know, I'm just excited to be a part of it. I'll do whatever. And if it's being a bad guy, I'll be the best bad guy there is. But love him not to be this one-dimensional thug that he was in the film. And that was very much what they wanted in the film, believe me.
You can see that. Said,
And I said, all things being equal, it's 30-some years later, whether he has evolved into a worse human being or a better human being, over 30 years, there's change in everyone. And I just want my participation to reflect that. And then I said, the other thing is, you know, at the heart of Cobra Kai is humor. I mean, it's a really funny show. You know, I do stand up. I love comedy. And I was like, I really want to have the opportunity to, you know, find some moments where this guy is funny. And they really were, cognizant of that. And there's a couple great moments, I think, where Mike Barnes is really funny when he's interacting with Chosen and, you know, selling him the couch.
I see you liking that tufted blue suede.
Mmm, comfy. Mm. How much?
Well, it's normally $1,200, but what the hell? For you, $2,000.
You know, a lot of people said, wow, I wish you would have been in more of it. And some of that was a factor that I was also filming Bold and the Beautiful at the same time. Mm. So scheduling was difficult, but I mean, I just feel like there was so much packed into, you know, what they gave me to do that I'm just really appreciative that I had the opportunity to be a part of it.
So rad. And sometimes you want, that's what you want. You don't want to wear out the character. You want to
always leave one more.
There you go.
Yep.
Never work with children and animals and never follow a better act.
I had posted a picture on our $2 Late Fee Instagram of the poster Rich Girl, 1991. Oh my God. And I have a question for you, because you have an epic fight scene with Don Michael Paul in that movie. Any fond memories of working on that film?
Well, first of all, Paul Gleason, who played the teacher in Breakfast Club, was in it. So I was just jacked. I mean, yeah, I mean, like speaking my lingo, like Breakfast Club, St. Elmo's Fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just really kind of starstruck. You know, it was great working with Don Michael Paul. I mean, it was it was really fun. It was a lot of young people. We were filming in clubs and things like that. And it was a really fun experience. It was, you know, not a great film, but it was a lot of fun.
That's relatively speaking, you know.
Got to work with Sheree Curry from Sheree Curry and the Runaways. I mean, there were some kind of cool things going on in the film. So it was a great experience.
That movie may come back up on our show, by the way, just FYI, if we have Jill Sholin on our show. So
no idea what Jill Sholin's up to.
And she's like doing a Scream Queens cooking show.
Okay.
Because you have the connection with cooking. So there you go.
All right. Maybe we can facilitate that.
Oh, maybe we'll have a little reunion. Rich Girl.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Question from David. Do you have any particular Pat Morita memory that you like to share?
You know, I get asked that a lot.
Forget it.
Forget it.
I don't want to take it back.
No, for me, Pat Morita was, before he was Mr. Miyagi, he was Arnold.
Yeah, dude.
You know, happy days. I mean, so I was really excited. A very warm guy, funny. I mean, you know, the thing about it is that when I was doing Karate Kid 3, you know, I was very much an unknown, unproven commodity. And because of that, the producers were not... You know, they were like, it was a wait and see thing, whether or not I was going to be able to pull it off. And so there wasn't a lot of room for screwing around. And frankly, you know, fun was not the first thing that was on everyone's mind.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I wound up getting severely injured on the film, and that, you know, kind of heightened the seriousness of everything once I got back. So, you know, he was very funny. And he was very warm. That's probably about the only thing that I could say. I don't have any. There's one thing I wish I had in front of me. I have a great picture of me and Pat Morita, and then right behind Pat is my martial arts instructor Fumio Demura, dressed in full makeup like Pat Morita, because he was his stunt double. So you're literally seeing Pat
Morita. Cool.
Oh, cool. I will throw something out to you if you're interested. So Pat Morita did a television pilot called Young Guy Christian with Barry Bostwick and Shelley Long in 1979. You can watch the pilot on YouTube. It is bonkers. It's Barry Bostwick at his cheesiest in a good way.
Yeah,
he has literally a tango fight scene at the end of the movie, which is insane. But Pat Morita is so funny in it. So, you know, just want to put that out there too.
I remember Pat did a movie with Jay Leno.
Yes. Collision Course. Right. Collision Course.
Yeah. Was it a movie or was it a
movie.
TV show?
It's a movie where Pat Morita jump kicks through a windshield, like a car driving like 70 miles an hour, jump kicks through the windshield.
It's insane.
Mr. Miyagi.
Right?
Of course he could.
I got one more question on my end. It's from Aaron Dawn, friend of the show, fan of the show. What's the most romantic thing you've ever done for someone, and probably your wife? It should be, I think.
Well, don't put words in his mouth. Let him.
So I think I get two things come to mind right away. One of them is for our seventh anniversary, I wrote a poem for her. Basically, the poem is about how, you know, we've all heard about the 7-year itch, you know, how you know, people say it's 7 years, you know, our fire's burning brighter than it ever has been. And then I got it done in calligraphy and had it framed.
Oh, that's nice.
And then our wedding was in Italy at a beautiful boutique hotel overlooking the Mediterranean, owned by mine. And that was pretty romantic.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's great.
And we got Valentine's Day tomorrow. So hopefully I won't screw that up.
I'm just going to put it out there. It is a Hallmark holiday. So you should be celebrating Valentine's Day every day, except for Valentine's Day.
Exactly. That would go over too well. See, but like, I'm a big proponent now of technology. Like yesterday, I get on Postmates. I get the Valentine's Day dinner ordered. I got the flowers coming today. They're coming any minute. Like I got everything taken care of. You know, I get to now just sort of sit back and, you know, reap the benefits. I hope.
Nice.
I love it.
That's fantastic. So last question. It's less of a question than more of a comment. This is from Zach in Santa Monica. He just wanted to thank you for the Gentleman's Guide to Sexting.
Oh, yeah. You got it, Zach. I hope that's working out for you, pal. Yeah, that's in the Modern Gentleman. There's a section about sexting.
And it's titled dating, first of all, but then you get into it. Yes. And
yeah. About how to do it appropriately.
So is that what kind of led to the Valentine's Day? Like that set the stage for romance?
Not to get personal. There's a lot of stuff in my book. My first book, which was The Modern Gentleman, Cooking and Entertaining with Sean Gannon. Yeah. I think there's some good ideas in there for, how to keep your marriage going or your relationship going, and how for guys to be the best version of themselves, and for women to have a little insight into, I think, at least how this guy thinks. And, you know, I don't think I'm that different than a lot of guys.
No, I think that's great. I think it's great. And I again, love that you're using your platform. People are taking it from you that might not listen to it otherwise.
Right. I think so too. You know, I a lot of the advice in the book, in all the books, is stuff I wish that, you know, someone had given me earlier on. But, you know, here's the reality. They probably did, and I probably wasn't listening.
Right.
Right. Sean, are you currently, what are you working on? Did you finish the Welcome to the Kumite? Are you working on another book, or what's going on?
Yeah, welcome to the, I should have had a copy of it right here. Welcome to the Kumite is out and available and all.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cool.
So what am I working on? You can catch me on CBS every day, Monday through Friday, on The Bold and the Beautiful, which is the most watched show in daytime in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Studio City just got 13 or 14 nominations for the Indie Series Awards. You can watch Studio City on Amazon Prime. Probably going to be taking out the garbage and cleaning up around here. So that's what you can find me doing.
And you can find Rich Girl on YouTube, I believe.
you can, or you don't have to.
Come on. See, one of the aspects of our show is like, nostalgia is a beautiful thing. Nostalgia is also one hell of a drug, where people go back and like, I remember this so fondly, and then you watch it again and you're like, it has its moments.
Well, speaking of nostalgia, you can also find me on season 5 of Cobra Kai on Netflix.
Yeah, no doubt. Selling couches.
Of course.
No
selling couches. Kicking ass.
Kicking at. That's a great tagline.
And I'm all out of couch.
Sean, if I hope our paths cross again, and maybe we can have you in the studio.
I would love that. You know, find me when you're ready, and we'll make sure we can work it out. Okay.
Love it. Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much. I really enjoyed
talking.
Likewise.
Thank you again.
Same here. All right, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Don't forget to subscribe and give us a is it 5-star rating? Don't forget to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. If you listen to us on Spotify, that's great too. And you can find us on the internet. Don't forget to check out our website at $2LateFee.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at $2 Late Fee Podcast. We'll see you next time.
We did it.
Hey! Hi, Duke. Oh, listen, I just wanted to say goodbye and remind you that the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.